Be open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 6. The night this message is going to be that which is my duty to do, and that's preach a message that has to do coming up in October. It's time for the rotation of the deacon board. We'll be nominating on October the 7th, and the following Wednesday night on October the 14th, the final vote will be done for the next term. And so tonight, we need to go over these. I'll do my best to teach and not preach, that we may understand exactly what is required for this position. It's a very important position. It's a very necessary position. At the same time, it's not a position to be filled. It's a position to be used. And that's what the Bible says about it. Father, thank you again for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of God this week, the answer of prayer, even to the going home of a loved one, Lord, who's been in our church 36 years. And so we come to you tonight for the privilege to be able to worship you again. And dear Father, prepare as we work the ministry that God has called us through Fellowship Baptist Church. Thank you for the people that you've given and put in positions that we may serve together. And our goal, dear Father, is to worship and serve you. Now tonight, help us with this position as we do our best to give the instruction from the Scriptures, and in turn, what our church is based on, as near as we know how, scripturally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, I'd like to say that there are standards everywhere you go in life. Where you work at, you have standards. You have values, standards of values. You have standards of achievement. You have standards of policy, standards of living, standards of excellency. Everywhere you go, you're guided with some standards somebody has written up, which they feel is the best things needed for that particular company in life. Now, these standards fix criteria that separates people and objects into two groups. It's those who meet the standard and those who do not meet the standard. And you find that there has to be a meeting of the standard to be to fill about any position anywhere if you're going to fill it to the best of your ability. Because best thing in the world to do, you don't go into a place and decide how you're going to run it. You have to go in there and go how they are running it. But thank God if you can make something better, most people are willing to listen. Now, God sets a standard. A lot of folks don't like that, but He does set standards. And the Bible is full of what He tells us to do, no matter where you're at. Thank God our standard now in the New Testament is not completely like the Old Testament, though the standard of righteousness has never changed. God has made arrangement that we might be able to have His righteousness imputed to us. So the deterioration of God's holy standards in Christian atmospheres today, and the deterioration of faithful preaching of God's Word against sin, has contributed to the deterioration of the enforcement of the standards of Christians when it comes to their everyday life, and when it comes especially to leaders in a church. The Bible stipulates the criteria for those who lead the local church that have been placed in positions of responsibility. In Acts chapter 6, we have the mention the first time that they saw the need of such a position. In 1 Timothy 3, he sets out exactly what those standards are, and therefore would have those who look at and read, and even as people look out among them for someone to fill this position, they should know enough about the standard in turn that they would have one that would be pleasing to God. You look in Titus 1, 5 through 9, 2 Corinthians 8 through 16 through 24, and it gives some examples about what it comes to leadership. Yet we live in an age when many heckles are raised when the issue of standards, which are rules or requirements, are brought up. You find that there, if someone doesn't want to meet a standard, then they're automatically against it. That's understandable. It's brought up and determined qualification of to lead a teacher or teach in a Bible-believing church. And so these people raise what they call raised up when they talk about biblical standards of any kind for any of God's children to be brought into focus of what they're going to be doing. I know God has never left up to us to decide what God wants without Him telling us. And if I see anything that God wants, I want to be sure it comes from Him the best I can from the Scriptures itself. And so it is possible to abuse the matter. Why is it though so many sometimes people are against the standards? Because it is possible to abuse the standards. And we sure don't want to do that. They emphasize the external and ignore the internal, promoting standards in an ungracious manner, or failing to be patient with new immature Christians when they're born into family. One of the biggest things about Christians nowadays is when a new babe comes in, if we've been saved a few years, we don't have the patience sometimes to deal with it. But did you know you always got babes? You always got people who are growing in grace and knowledge from every level in a church size of this? People who are coming in, being saved by God's grace, are babes in Christ. And they have to be fed the food of Christ, the milk of God's Word. And sometimes to others it gets boring because you said you've already been there. But I'll tell you this, if you love souls, it will bless your heart to know that there's some people that need the milk of God's Word. That means there's still birth been taking place in the age of grace. So a spirit-filled Christian will care deeply about externals because the external displays the heart when it comes to us presenting ourselves to this particular world. And God sets the standards, and they're high marks. His standards are very high marks in life for Christians, especially for the leaders and the teachers. Because God has told us many times that people will go where their leaders are. And by the way, so will a nation. A nation, sooner or later, if it has the wrong kind of leaders, will have people following with the majority the wrong way. Because we're creatures of gradualism. So now we open up Acts chapter 6 and read down about verse 8. And then we're going to go over to 1 Timothy. And it says, in those days when the numbers of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we have may appoint over this business. Now, it's interesting. We got a thing going today that has been taught much that this is not talking about deacons. It's talking about servants. Well, what difference? It's certainly the same principle. There was a time that they needed help in the worship place, that where the apostles could give their time to prayer and the Word of God. Would I have to deal with other officials as far as the church was concerned in that time? And notice these men were full of the Holy Ghost. That means they're saved. You can't have the Holy Ghost unless you're saved. And he said, it didn't just say to have the Holy Ghost. He said, you pick out men who are full of the Holy Ghost. That means simply that they're not only saved and have the Holy Ghost, but there's an example of that of the external, so you can see that what's inside the heart. He said, but we will give ourselves constant to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And this pleased the whole multitude. And he lists the men at that time who they appointed. Go to verse 7. And he said, when this was done at this time, and the Word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Isn't that amazing? God's Word was so workable in the hearts of people because they looked at the organization and lined it up in a way that those who had to do the proper things could do those things, and people were getting saved right and left. And even the priests themselves, notice, were obedient to the faith. Then he gives us Stephen, he said, was full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Go with me to 1 Timothy just a moment, if you will. And we'll read down verse chapter 3, down about verse 8 through 15. He said, likewise. Now it's interesting because the word likewise connected to the first seven verses. And he gave the qualification that they required for a elder or bishop or pastor, as we would think of in our particular day. And then he said, likewise, along the same line, you expect no more out of the pastor than you would out of the deacons, the same way. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. That is, they do what God shows them to do. They study the Word of God, and when they teach it, they're convinced, and if it's not exactly like it should be, and God shows them, they're corrected. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, Isn't that the same thing that happened in verse 3 in Acts 6? Pick out men full of the Holy Ghost. Same equivalent. These men have to be proved. That is, there ought to be an observation that were in turn that one would say, you know, I believe this would be a good man for this job. Then let them use the office of a deacon. Notice the word use. It didn't say feel. It said use. The filling office is just to say, I got my name there and I'll show up when I want to. Because I got my name there. To use is a verb which in turn that's involved with what's going on. And God's precise with words when he talks about such a position as this. And he goes on and he says, and be found blameless. Then in verse 11, he said, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. That's very, very important. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. And there's no need to try to explain that any other way. The other day, people try to explain their way completely because, you know, they don't have enough men, so they fill it with women and everybody else that will say they'll do it. And then he come back and try to use the Greek word dinakonos, that just means could mean anybody. Well, you look at the text and you'll find out it's always talking to master of turn. And he said, for they have used the office of a deacon. There it is again. Well, purchased to themselves a good degree and a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things I write unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly, he said. And then verse 15 gives us the reason why God gave this to the instruction to the church. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, there are two offices in the church that have a distinction of requiring a ordination. One is the pastor and the other is the deacon. So we want to take a fresh look at the Bible when it calls about what to do, because we're coming up. It's my job to inform you. I do not decide. We look among us and pick those that we think that God would have because they meet the criteria as far as the Scripture is concerned. By the way, man, if you have the opportunity to do this and you're privileged to be picked out, you don't serve because you'll be judged before God one day whether God was first in your life or not. And I say that to love you because I love you. This is not something to frown at. This is something that God said is done right, that God has manifested in your life a quality that in turn, that at least what they see, there's something you know of, then you ought to it be turned down. But there's a quality that God has manifested in your life that this position could be filled by you as far as man is concerned. The Bible is very clear about why we have deacons and their requirements. The apostles were not able to meet the need in the church and to carry out their pulpit duties as well with all that was going on in Acts chapter 6. So he said, pick out 7 men. They were appointed from the people and by the people of the church so they might, that the apostles might be free to pray, to study, and also have a chance to preach the word of God. The biblical duties of the deacon did not change and have not changed for 2,000 years. It's documented. Nowhere can you find God put an exception here. There is still a need for a position in the church today. Let me say that again. There is a need for the position in the church today. But it's not a need that needs to be filled with anybody. It'd be better off not to have a deacon if you don't have men who are qualified. We can bring everything back to the floor and you make the decisions for that for the church. So let me give you 3 quick points about the biblical deacon. First of all, a biblical deacon must be saved. I mean, that's what we see in Acts chapter 6, verse 3. You can't be full of the Holy Spirit unless you have the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the requirements. You not only have the Holy Spirit, you're to be full of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, everybody full all the time? Maybe not. But the only big characteristics of that there's something God in you and I as individuals in this position. And hopefully that we're close enough to God that it'd be that. There must be a relationship with Jesus Christ as one Savior. One must examine himself then to make sure whether he's in the faith or not. Now, if you look at me in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul tells the church at Corinth that they need to examine themselves. Why is that? Notice what they said. The church at Corinth was a very carnal church. I wonder if they can even find any in it that qualified as far as outward is concerned because of the doctrine they taught. They're so liberal in so many things. But look, he said in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, examine yourself. whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self. Now, in Acts 6, he said, take out among you. Here in Timothy, he said, you need to pick those that prove themselves. Now he said to the individual about salvation, prove your own self. There's things that you can look into the Word of God and examine yourself. He said, know ye not your own self that Jesus Christ is in you except ye be reprobates? But I trust that you shall know that we're not reprobates, though they were called that at times. Reprobate means a perverted mind that God cannot approve of. One who deals with one's own speculations about Jesus Christ rather than biblical speculations. And so here, this is interesting. In 2 Peter, if you look with me, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, God said, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government presumptions are they, self-will, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. That one thing's for sure, one who's saved and full of the Holy Spirit will respect that which is done for God and not be like Peter has talked about there. So there must be a relationship, again, with Jesus Christ as personal Savior. There must be a recognition by the saints. The saints were to choose. Take out from among you. Choose out from among you in Acts chapter 6, verse 3. This corresponds to a portion that requirements of the deacon that's listed in 1 John chapter 3. Let them also be proved, he said, in verse 10. So they must be saved, they must be recognized by the saints of God, they must be full of the Holy Spirit, that is, they must be controlled. How do you examine one full? At least there is somewhat a control by the Holy Spirit of God in Acts 6:3. In other words, one who walks in the Spirit. If you look at the fruit of the Spirit, look in Galatians with me just a moment. In Galatians chapter 5. He talks about fruit of the Spirit, verse 22 and 23. But verse 16 says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In verse 24 said, and they that are Christ are crucified the flesh with affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So again, these are a biblical deacon must be a saved deacon. They must know they're saved. They can't, it'd be wrong to put somebody on the deacon board who said, well, I think I'm saved. I might be saved. I don't really know that I'm saved. Why, isn't everybody saved? What do you think about that? You say, well, that might be if a person didn't really know. Somebody might say they are when they're not. Well, if they do, they'll stand before God. But it'd be to us a disadvantage if we said that someone would be voted on the board who didn't know they were saved. God would hold us responsible for that as people, because that's not what he told us to do in looking out men to fill this position, you see. Then the second thing, they must be servants. They were chosen to serve the church. And we see that. They must use the office, not merely fill it in 1 Timothy 3 and down in verse 10. They are expected to live godly and separated lives. Verses 8 through 13 of 1 Timothy 3 gives us the instructions for that. Notice in verse 8, they must be grave. Men who are serious about their duties. They're worth imitating. They're not gossipers. They're looking to focus upon Christ as much as possible. No, they're not sinless. But they do their best to try to be blameless. That God would help us do that by keeping sin confessed. Notice he said not double-tongued in verse 8. Their words are dependable. They do not gossip. Notice they said, again, not greedy of filthy lucre in verse 8. That is, they're not there for the purpose to get ahead in society. And they're not there so they can be on the board and deal with the contractors and things. And it's not for money at all. It's for because God has placed us there. Because if they get the eye on money, that it's a way to get business or otherwise, then you lose your focus of what this position is. Just like a pastor, be the same thing. Be the same thing if I do the same thing. He said, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, verse 9. That is, they're well grounded in fundamental doctrines. Someone says, well, I don't believe in doctrine. Well, you better leave that person alone then. As a matter of fact, when a person says, I don't believe in doctrine, they automatically said something right then that's a doctrine. Some have taught them they don't believe in doctrine. Doctrine is no more than just teaching, the teaching of God's Word at this time. He said they must be proven, verse 10. He said examine, that is to examine them as to their qualification. It isn't that you're judging. You're saying, Lord, I can't be a deacon, whatever the reason may be. But I'm part of the church. Let me look and look at the men. With your help, I prayerfully come to the throne of grace and ask you to help me decide if there's one that you would use in this position. And then you just don't automatically, well, I vote on so-and-so. You go to that person. You let them know. Don't embarrass them on the floor. Worst thing in the world is to put somebody up as a deacon in the open air at an assembly somewhere or another, and maybe there's some reason why they can't be it, and embarrass them. You don't do that. You go to them privately and talk to them. Say, God has really laid you on my heart. And I just wonder, will you consider? And if they has a reason that's not, then they will quietly retract it. If there's a reason they could, then they realize how important it is. There are stipulations here that some people cannot be deacons, cannot be pastors. I don't care what this modern liberal world says. But on the other hand, ladies and gentlemen, if it's a possibility, nothing's in the way, and you have that opportunity to fulfill what is needed, take advantage of it. Because God said there's a reward for this. A reward for it. He said, let them use the office actively for the glory of God in verse 13. One who earns the respect of his family in controlling the home in verse 12. Deacons should be active in the work of the church. What is the main work? Soul winning. Teachers should be active in the work of the church. What is that? Soul winning. Witnessing for Christ. Not on the job that comes. You should do that as a Christian. There ought to be a time that you go during the week and try to solicit people to come to church or try to win them to the Lord. They should be acting in the work of the church. They're acting in visiting the sick, caring for the bereaved, head off problems that may arise, and always under the supervision of the godly pastor. If the pastor is not godly, you don't need him. If I can't live my life before you in a sense that where it shows it biblically, I don't need to be here. I'm wasting my time. And I'm going to have to give an account to God one of these days for that. But it's got to be biblically. It can't be opinion. And like a brother asked this morning, called me the other day from Maine. He said, I preached a message on the Holy Spirit. And he asked me a question about the Holy Spirit. And he said, I fear it's biblically. He said, but I had some people after service come up to me and question me about what I preached on the Holy Spirit. And they had a right to do that, but they missed his whole message. He was using typology to explain something. You hear me do that a lot. I'll use an example to explain something, and they get to focus on the example and miss the whole truth. He was very pleased after we talked a little while. So deacons will be active in the church. They should try to maintain peace and harmony in the church. Acts 6:3. That is, they were put it over the business to look after some affairs. Now, deacons have more responsibility now than was in that early church, because the business there had to do with just when they, certain meetings. Now, there's a lot more. By the way, they didn't have the hospitals when Jesus walked the earth that we know of. There's a lot of things that is taken on the church has to do now, where in turn that deacons have to feel, but use that position wisely for God's glory. So these can be great. Look in verse 11, it said, talked about the wives, just like he did with the men of pastors. He said, even so must their wives be grave, same thing we see up in verse 8, not slanders, sober, faithful. Sober is alert for the fact that they are attentive to what may come up, faithful in all things. He didn't say a few things. In all things. Unless someone is providentially hindered, they ought to be faithful in everything that goes on in this church. Because that's how they manifest that they're concerned for the focus that what we do in this church, what the call of God is. And so he goes on and he goes down and he talks about these criteria are not met, there can be great harm done in the church if the wives do not meet their qualification. So we see here that we have this biblical deacon must be saved and he must be a servant. And then the last thing quickly, they must be soldiers. They're literally soldiers in the family of God. So are we all, but they're in position-wise as far as the Scripture is concerned. They must stand upon the Scriptures. Notice again in verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. That is, they spend some time with God If there's something that comes up, they have literally looked at it take a text and looked at it in a context, tried to understand it, and ask God to help them understand it. I don't believe something just because I want to defend something I feel good about. That's foolish. Some people fight a battle weeks at a time or something they just feel good about. Well, if you feel good about it and it's truth, good. But I'll tell you this, sometimes you'll find, if you look at Scripture and you feel so good about it that you defend it and all of a sudden you find out it's wrong, this Scripture will not only bless us, but it will cut us. It will condemn us. And so we'll focus on one thing so we're not condemned and miss the rest. And you can't do that. You've got to be able to have the ability, ask God for the ability to make good balanced judgments from that. They must take time to win the lost and to minister to the saints. Stephen, Acts chapter 6. And you know, in verse 8, it says he was full of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 8 and verse 40, if you look there with me in the book of Acts, you have that story that God gives about the eunuch. And you know how he'd been to Jerusalem coming back, and he picked Philip, who was a deacon, and brought him over there. Now he does evangelist work, brought him down the Gaza Strip. It's interesting. He preached Christ to him. He was reading from Isaiah, didn't understand. He began to talk to him, and I'd like you to get down to verse 36 of chapter 8. He said, and as they went on their way, well, verse 35, he opened his mouth, Philip did, and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Well, that's what it is. By the way, it would be good for any Scripture we look at, you end up preaching Jesus. Because it all points to Him. Every bit of it points to Him. And he said, and as they went on their way, there came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder us me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. Now, someone said, well, now, that's not really telling him to believe in Christ. He must have, because notice what he said. You know, sometimes people say, well, Philip didn't say if you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Hey, he'd been talking to him for no telling how long about Jesus. And now watch what the man said. Whether we know, somewhere along the line, he knew that Jesus was the answer. Because when Philip asked the question, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest, and he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then he said, as he commanded the church, stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, someone said, well, wait a minute. Paul said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, when he made this statement, I believe that he's the Son of God, he said, I believe everything God said about it. I believe everything. Someone said, well, preacher, I don't know if I believe that, you know, I don't know if I said in my prayer that if, you know, I believe in Jesus and that he rose from the dead when I got saved. I don't know if I said that I believe he rose from the dead. But do you believe? Oh, yeah, I believe that. But then I said, well, listen, the fact that you believe Jesus, who he was, you may not have all the facts when you got saved. But as you learn, that's the reason God wants you to grow in grace and knowledge. So you learn later what you did do. When I got saved, I didn't know everything that I did. But I'll tell you right now, 50 years later, I know a whole lot more about it than I did then. And I claim the promises of what God has said that he showed me afterwards. That I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. By the way, where I said it or not, I believed it because I wouldn't have believed he was the Son of God unless I believe he rose from the dead. Too many other people try to claim that. And I don't think you would have either. So the deacon's work is great. The standard is high. The need is today as much as there was 2,000 years ago. And the rewards, gentlemen, are literally amazing. Deacons are not dictators any more than a pastor is. 1 Timothy 3, verse 13, again, he makes this statement as we look at that. Go back there with our eyes. Verse 13, he said, for they have used the office of deacon well, purchased to themselves a good degree, a great boldness in the faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Interesting. The term a good degree refers also to respect. They have learned, they have purchased to themselves great respect in the church, in turn, how they live. Say, well, boy, I tell you, that fellow's a deacon, but he's the meanest man in the church. He don't need to be in a position if everybody thinks that. But if you say, you know, so-and-so is a deacon, they're good men. They may have a few problems, but they're good men. We're not sinless. And you aren't either. The only time I come any closer to being sinless as if the day I got saved is when I have communion and confess my sin. When we have communion, I confess my sin before God from right that moment. There's no sin. But give me a few minutes. And so would you. You'll see something, look at something, think of something. And when you do, your mind gets control. The term good degree also refers to respect. The church should hold deacons with high esteem who serve the church well. They're promised great boldness in the faith, but it'll be done with love. May God help men to be good deacons. Be a friend to the pastor. Serve the church well and be a blessing to the people. And if a deacon will do these things, God will bless him and his family and reward him for it, as we see in verse 13. That's exactly what he says. Now, when you think about these qualifications, and that's, I'll stop there. The only other thing the church is asked that for the proven situation that a person had to be a member of this church a minimum of 2 years before they can run for deacon board. That gives a chance over a period of time to watch doctrine otherwise. In turn, that's a good time for the purpose. You don't prove somebody just looking at them at a glance. And so that's what the church voted on many years ago in our Constitution that we do. The other thing that we did many years ago is we asked the deacons who run according to these particular qualifications. And we have what we asked that the deacon's requirement for workers here. A deacon who is strict adherence to the church policy concerning separation. Faithful attendance to Sunday school. Faithful attendance to all public services. Faithful attendance to staff meetings. Loyal to the church entire program. Adherence to regular schedule, time of visitation on behalf of the church. Give God His time. This is God's command. Faithful attendance to monthly deacon meetings. And that is not decided by us. The church is set up in the sense of what attendance were to be faithful. It don't mean you have to be here every service. Well, nobody can do that. But it does mean that you don't use excuse over a period of years, stay out half the year and still be a deacon. And then it says, I understand that a person who accepts the above listed principles but later is unable to abide by any of them, they must resign. As simple as that. Now, we got some good men on the board. God has always given us some good men. And I believe He's going to do that again. But we won't put 10 or 12 men or 7 or 8 men on the board just because the position's there. They need to be qualified. And it needs to be a fact that the church looks at it. You don't put people on the board because they're friends. I'm just laying it out on the table. You can't do that because you put them on the board because you literally asked the Lord to help you look among you these men. And wives, you're going to be tickled to death and blessed that your husband would be looked at as a Christian. You say, well, I know him. That's all right. They don't see that side. They see what they see. They're looking for God. And who knows? It might be that it got a position. When you live with each other, you know each other better. But you don't know each other as good as God knows all of us. Amen? Just don't. And what a blessed thing it would be if a person, as a wife, would have a husband to feel a position of leadership of the church. It's a great responsibility. You learn a lot, I'll tell you that. Because this is serious business. Serious business. There's no way, unless these are met, and therefore, if a person agrees that they will run and they're voted on. Now, a person has to have a 51% vote. It's a secret ballot. But anyone in here can vote their vote. And if someone is nominated and 51% says no, that person doesn't serve on the board. If 51% says yes, you have to have a majority. That's a majority. And then if you have some that are close, say you have someone that's tied, that ties, it's rare, but I guess you could have that, then it goes according to the rules. By the way, the church set that a couple of years ago that we never thought of before. It goes by the rule that the one who's been in the church the longest would fill that position for the next term. Our deacon board runs every 2 years. There's a rotation, but the time is 4 years. So we have, like we say, every 2 years, some going off, some coming on. But when you go on, it's a 4-year term before you have to go off. We're going to have a great time. You look sad. Just look around. Ask God to bless and lead you. If you see someone you think would be interested, go to them. And if you go to them and they say yes, go to one of the deacons now. And in turn, we'll bring it up for that night when I have our meeting. And then the person will be asked that night, the same thing we'll have here. They'll sign this in front of the church that they don't misunderstand what's been said. And we'll go forth another 2 years like God. I think we're at a point of growth that's unbelievable. Don't be mindful. Satan don't try his best to do something terrible. But I'll tell you, I think we're at a point of growth that we've never seen before. And God's going to honor us for that. Let's pray. Father, Lord, this has been information for our people tonight. I pray that we take the Word of God seriously. I pray, Lord, that you help them understand it's my duty as a pastor to present to them. It's not my duty to appoint deacons. It's their duty to take out among themselves those that have been proven over a period of time in the eyes of the one who's nominated. And then ask that person, will they consider running? Now, if someone comes up and they talk about running and it's not biblical, Lord, we will stop that. There's no use to bring habit to start with when something's not biblical. And on the other hand, we look to you to guide us and direct us and give us wisdom to love each other, focus on you, desire your will, and dear Father, give us what is needed that we may serve you better. We believe the Lord's coming back soon. Who knows? It may be before we have this meeting. But our Father, if they don't, then we see Paul said to Timothy that I give you this so you know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the living God. The church is the pillar and the dominant place for God's people to learn, to worship, to come with adoration to God, to give Him glory, and to refuel us to go back into this evil, ungodly world and represent your kingdom until we hear the trumpet and the voice of the archangel. Bless our people this week as they go different ways. Dear Lord, give us unity when we come to this in a couple weeks from now. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.